Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. I am here with Dusty Giebank. How you doing, Dusty?
Oh, it's been a while, but I'm back with style, so... Sorry, that's cool.
No, I don't know why I just blanked out for a second. I was just like, oh my God, I restarted. We restarted this for a specific purpose.
Right.
And my brain just cracked out for a second.
In the case of full disclosure for our listeners, sometimes we do private shows before the shows. And so we were talking about ROH before the show, and we decided that it was good content, and so we're going to, at some point, maybe right now, talk about ROH, and it will be recycled material for us, and totally new to everyone listening. So, there you go. That is how we do things at Stunt Grandmother.
Like I said, just before I hit record here, that I was like, oh my gosh, about 5 minutes ago, because we've probably been talking for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, son of a bitch.
Right.
Because, we went everywhere, but I guess it, you know, one thing that I didn't, because it was all about replays. How everyone was taken off for the holidays. That's how, and that part we don't need to rehash, actually. But
right.
ROH is in their third week of highlights, and I was definitely happy. The one highlight, the first highlight, and we didn't talk about this, and maybe this will help keep it fresh so we forget about the other stuff. They showed a strap match with Mark Briscoe and Silas Young.
Mm-hmm.
That was a match I was just sitting there going, you know what, this is kind of fascinating because, like, all the matches now that have a stipulation, they end up giving you more options.
Mm-hmm.
For what you can do in the wrestling ring. It's usually a street fight or a TLC match or just like some type of weapon, you know, like a chair match or what's the 10 count match?
Last man standing.
Last man standing, I quit.
Yep.
Like none of those kind of limit you. They kind of relax the rules a little bit and, you know, your movement isn't restricted at all. But with the strap match, you've really got to work a different style of match. Like, you can't just go, oh, we can do anything we want to.
Right, exactly. So I haven't seen that match, and I'm looking for it online here. So just to let you know what I'm doing here.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But, I don't know if it was good or, well, I mean, I thought it was fine. But I just thought it was interesting that it was one of those matches that you don't have anything, you have something holding you together. So, I mean, it really does limit what you can do as far as in the ring. Like, it's kind of hard. You can't, like, do a Van Terminator, let's say, or, any type of
right.
move like that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Van Damme has ever been in a strap match, nor should he be.
I guess it kind of takes a certain kind of a person to,
exactly.
a certain kind of wrestler to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okie dokie.
I'm not going to find it. Oh, well.
ROH must
have a good legal team or something. It's impossible to find ROH matches on here.
I'm sure that's what it is. I'm sure it's a legal team.
It's the fact that 5 people watch ROH anymore. That's what it is.
But you were talking, I guess, just since that one really isn't going much anywhere.
Oh, okay.
I guess one of the parts that we were talking about were the people, because the other match that they showed was the which was the main event of Final Battle, and was Mark Briscoe versus Adam Cole versus Michael Elgin.
Okay.
And Adam Cole ended up going over.
Yep.
Which is all for the positive.
Absolutely. He might be the best thing going in ROH right now. But, you know, I was saying, like, you know, WWE is kind of sleeping on him. And, you know, but you pointed out he's young, and I looked it up just now, and he's 24. So that is still super young for a guy. And, yeah, so maybe he just needs more time to develop. You know, he's still a little bit raw, and 24, he's got time. So, but, yeah, definitely a joy to watch in ROH, and one of the only reasons to watch ROH, to be honest.
Yeah, no, he is, he's a lot of fun to watch. And he's, and this is the first time that they've really given him anything of a personality.
Yep.
He got a little bit when him and Kyle O'Reilly broke up.
Yeah.
But then the other thing that just it hurts their product all the time is them going to Japan.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really doesn't do anything about them or anything for them because it's just like, oh, he's gone for, like, a whole recording period or possibly more.
And then he jack-in-the-boxes back. Mm-hmm. And you can really lose momentum that way. And
yeah,
it's just sort of weird anyway for the viewer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad to be off a week or something like that, but when you start doing off for 4 weeks or 8 weeks, like, I just honestly start to forget about people.
Yeah, exactly.
This past week on Raw, Alberto Del Rio and Sin Cara came back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, like, I feel like they've been off TV for a couple of 2-3 weeks. I'd forgotten about them already.
Same here. I had the exact same reaction. Like, oh, yeah, those guys. I really did. I guess that's just what our attention spans are anymore. But you're right. There is this sort of like, oh, yeah, that's right kind of feeling whenever they pop back up.
Well, and I mean, to me, it's more of an indictment of their characters because then my secondary reaction to Del Rio is I'm like, holy Lord, he's getting a chance at Batista?
I know, dude. I know. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it to me, it's just incredible. It's like there are some guys that you're like, okay, why didn't he get more of a chance? And I'm trying to, like, well, I always use Ziggler as an example.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, okay, he got one crack and they took it away real quick, and then he gets a concussion like, oh, sorry, we can't leave it on you, and we're not going to put you back in there after that, or even in the mix after that. But Del Rio, wow, he takes two brutal losses to Sin Cara and just really hasn't well, actually, that was the weirdest thing, is they kind of downplayed him right after his character finally got arrogant enough to kind of warrant the push that he was getting.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Wow. I feel like Alberto Del Rio's character has just gotten worse and worse through time, you know?
Oh, really?
I do. I really do. Like, I don't think he was ever better than when he first appeared. That's my take on him.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I thought that those film segments just, I don't know, they just didn't do a whole lot for me. Like, they just seemed so, like, soap op, like, I mean, I know that it's called a men's soap opera sometime, but those
right.
seemed like a genuine, like, you know, Days of Our Lives kind of promo. It's just
yeah.
like, yeesh. I don't
yeah,
like,
I mean,
you're,
soap opera
you're supposed
for
to sound...
Shouldn't
hey,
be
I'm
taking
sorry.
That mm-hmm.
No, I stepped all over you. What were you going for there?
No, all I said was soap opera for men, that term shouldn't be taken so literally. It shouldn't be an actual soap opera, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. But just, like, the way they filmed it, like, they're... I mean, they're always trying to do these kind of arty, filmy things with
right.
those kind of segments. And the Wyatt are certainly, you know, the prime example at the current moment.
I think that's a big problem with having a bunch of writers and production guys that don't want to be wrestling writers and wrestling production people. They all fancy themselves as more important and serious than wrestling, and this isn't really wrestling anyway. This is entertainment. And so you get a bunch of hoo-ha and balderdash like that. So that's not a fresh take. This not at all fresh take has been brought to you by Subway. So
I love that you use the term balderdash, though. So
thank you. Thank you. What's the over-under on age for using balderdash? Got to be like 80? I mean, I just make myself look really old there. So.
Yeah, no, it's got to be pretty high.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't even play balderdash, so that's an even bigger problem.
Yeah. Oh, well. I tried something. It didn't work. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The great still fans, they do lots of artsy, stupid stuff that doesn't really connect with wrestling fans. So.
Right. What the hell else was, you know what, he's a guy that we didn't really talk about much, but you were saying that if Adam Cole is a little too young,
mm-hmm.
Jay Briscoe has enough seasoning to be over-seasoned.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that that's another guy that I don't understand why either TNA or the WWE, actually, more importantly, why they don't snag him.
Now, I wish I could give credit, but I can't remember who said it. But somebody said it, and it just snapped in my head. It's like, that's perfect. If Jay Briscoe ever ends up going to WWE, they're going to do to him what they did to the Bushwhackers. And I thought, that's exactly right. They're going to completely castrate him as a character. But he'll still get over because he has charisma and talent, and whatever he does, he'll get over with. So that's the kind of thing I see with Jay Briscoe. It would be both a tragedy and good for him because he deserves to make a lot of money doing this. So.
Yeah, no, his... I actually wasn't all... Well, yeah, they seem to make Matt Hardy went after Jay Briscoe, so I don't know if they're going to set up a feud between those two guys.
Yeah.
And then they had Adam Cole be the one that took down Michael Elgin after the match.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But then we also ended up getting on to the conversation of body types because the next guy to show up in the ring was Chris Hero.
Right. Who was famously just let go from WWE in part because he has no body type. He's just sort of some schlubby looking guy.
Yeah, no, I honestly hadn't realized how tall he was because me, he started wrestling in the ROH Dark Ages, which was in between when they finally got a TV deal. And
yeah.
after all the really good guys like Samoa Joe, CM Punk, and Bryan Danielson got the hell out of there.
Right. Right.
Well, actually, in the underutilized department, and someone that I definitely enjoyed when we saw them in Detroit there was Evan Bourne. Well, the now Evan Bourne. I see Matt Sydal then.
Yep. You know, I've been banging that drum. I totally agree with you on him. I think they're missing the boat. I think he could definitely be a woman drawing high mid-level babyface if they wanted him to be. So,
yeah, no, they could do that, but they choose to worry more about his pot smoking habits.
Right, right. Because that's really that's such a serious thing, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, no, that would be kind of hilarious that if one of their wrestlers moved to Colorado, just for that whole purpose.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I made the joke on Facebook that all the basketball players are going to want to play with the Nuggets now, you know. And
yeah,
it's going to be those guys that you know. Like, all of a sudden, the Nuggets are going to sign Michael Beasley and J.R. Smith, you know? Like, the guys where you know what's going on with them. So,
I know you don't like them, but I always did like when, it cracked me up when Bill Simmons called the Portland Trailblazers the Jailblazers when just Rasheed Wallace was up there.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think if, because they had like three or four guys get in trouble, and like at least two of them. I know that Wallace was for pot.
Right.
And I'm trying to think who else it was. I was just like, oh my gosh.
I think Stoudemire was on those teams, Damon Stoudemire, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I think he was, because it was a bunch of guys that I had watched in college. I'm just like, oh, my Lord, this is outstanding.
At the tail end of the Jailblazers era, they had Sebastian Telfair, who, from what I've read, has the largest entourage in basketball history. You know, those guys aren't, you know... cutting flowers and singing lullabies, you know. So,
well, I am sure they're helping with an inner city urban garden. I'm sure that's what they're doing in their spare time.
Indeed, yeah.
But part of the other it was part of the hero thing was, I guess after seeing him, I understand what the WWE wanted him to do. Like, I really don't have that much of a problem because, I had mentioned it earlier, was that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan have gotten themselves in better shape since they came over without sacrificing looking like, oh, the returning Dave Bautista.
Right, exactly. You don't have to go full-blown on steroids or anything, but just tighten up your body. Hit the gym, you know, kind of, you know, eat right, you know, just look like an athlete, you know? And there's sort of like this psychological thing about that where it's like showing pride in your work. If you don't care about your appearance in an appearance-based industry, then how is WWE going to use you, you know?
Right.
So,
I think the height combined with the kind of, because, I mean, he's kind of small for a taller guy. I mean, oh, that was one thing I really probably should have looked up. I could have checked to see how tall he is.
I believe 6'5".
Man.
What I read.
Yeah, that is a pretty fairly tall gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to
know that WWE is a lot stricter on stuff like that. It's a whole different mindset there. So, I don't blame them. I don't.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure he'll do perfectly fine for himself. Back in, well, actually, he's kind of gotten himself, well, I don't want to say that ROH is getting some better people, but them adding him and AJ Styles is not going to hurt their product.
No, it's adding to the talent level, and hopefully they use them properly. I have no hope that they will, but maybe they will, and, you know. Doesn't hurt to add good talent, you know. Obviously. That was a dumb statement by me. First one I made of 2014.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm still shooting myself even more because this hasn't turned out not gnarly as well as what we had done previously.
Our listeners don't deserve quality, Kevin.
Well, I guess another place, there's a gentleman that you like to listen to that does not think the Baseball Hall of Fame
yep,
deserves a quality vote.
Well, I don't even know where to start with this. So you're referring to Dan Levitard of the Miami Herald, and he has his own show on ESPN2, which you can watch every day on ESPN2 at 4 o'clock Eastern, and has his own radio show on 790 AM, The Ticket, and I listen to the podcast every day. So what he did, for those who don't know and for those who don't care, I don't care, you're going to listen to me.
Yep.
He had a Hall of Fame vote, which in itself is ridiculous because he used to be the Marlins beat writer, but that was years ago. And he still did Marlins stories, but, you know, wasn't the beat writer anymore, didn't travel with the team like he used to. And so it's kind of silly that he had a vote in the first place when they want to be accurate and up to date with who has votes, but apparently they don't.
Yeah, no, once you're in, you're good. It's like tenure as a professor.
That's right. You don't have to do anything once you're in. You've got the vote. So it's really interesting how they do things. But anyway, he gave his vote to Deadspin.com, and Deadspin.com had readers vote on who they thought deserved to get in, and the top 10 vote-getters on the website ended up being Levitard's ballot, and he filled out those 10 and signed it and sent it in. And so that's what happened, long story short. And now what's happening is he's getting a lot of backlash from baseball writers about how he shouldn't have done that. And the consequence from the Baseball Writers Association, whose logo on Twitter, by the way, is a baseball and a pen intertwined. Exactly what I said when
brutal.
I saw it. That's just absolutely asinine. But so they gave him a one-year ban from going to baseball games and a lifetime ban for voting in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
point out, just for the record, is a more strict ban than a person who has tested positive for steroids a second time. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I was already going to say, if you didn't think he had or should have had a vote in the first place just because he hadn't really been covering baseball that well, I should get this out of the way. I find the whole thing hilarious. Like, I love what he did.
Yep. Thank you.
To me, like, because the fact that other writers are saying anything is kind of hilarious just because there are so many different guys doing so many different bullshit things. Like, I don't know why he's getting any more shit than any of these other guys. Well, it's just because he's more in the headlines than some of these other guys is
sure.
what the problem sure. is.
Mm-hmm.
But these idiots that are, you know, people that, because what was it? Oh, because I was reading Jonah Curry there, or Carey, on Grantland about Craig Biggio being
mm-hmm.
two votes short. And there are two people that, and I can't believe that this is the case, but this is at least how he explained it, was that the two people handed in their ballots but didn't put anybody on it. So
yep.
that counts towards the vote. Which
yep.
is what cost Biggio getting in.
Absolutely. It counts.
But if they had
yep.
just not sent in the ballots,
mm-hmm.
he would have gotten in because they just wouldn't have counted. Like, they wouldn't have been in the total.
Yes, but these baseball writers are so self-important that they feel they are making such a grand statement by mailing back a blank ballot. Which then, in turn, has to count as a vote and counts towards the percentage and, like you said, costs Biggio a spot in the Hall of Fame. A guy who absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame.
That, to me, is far more disgraceful than what Levitard did.
I don't think what Levitard did was disgraceful in any way. And I know you didn't just say that, but for those who think it, like, I don't get your argument, you know? What better than having the fans vote, you know? Like, just on a general basis, why not have the fans vote? But the argument against him is from all these people that are exactly what he was railing against. All these holier-than-thou guys who think they're the important gatekeepers. You know, I'll tell you what, Kevin. I don't know if you've ever been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know what my favorite section in the Baseball Hall of Fame is? The section with the sports writers. Oh, that's my favorite part of the Hall of Fame. When you see the statue of Murray Chass. Murray Chass is one of the guys who sends in a blank ballot every year. Oh, I love his statue at the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's my favorite part. But you know what I'm saying? Like, all these guys think they're the important story, and they're the arbiters of everything that happens. And every year they get on their fucking stupid soapbox and moralizing. And the biggest thing this year, the storyline is, the people who won't vote for the guys from the steroid era. So, my argument, first of all, we're still in the steroid era. Ryan Braun tested positive for steroids. He served a suspension last year. We're not out of the steroid era. So what are they saying? They're never going to vote for another person again? You know how ridiculous that is? You know how absolutely asinine that is? But then the other thing is, the people who didn't vote for Greg Maddux, because no one in the history of baseball has ever gotten a unanimous vote, and so therefore that's the reason they didn't vote for Greg Maddux? That's the reason. Not for any talent. People know he didn't use steroids. And in fact, the fact that he pitched deep in the heart of the steroid era and was still one of the greatest pitchers of all time should tell you what a great talent he is and should guarantee him a unanimous vote in. But since it's never been done, they still won't do it. That's the kind of archaic, fossilized logic that Levitard is fighting against.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with his stance. And plus, I guess the other thing that's funny about it is that, I mean, it's still only one vote.
Right.
Out of how many votes. Like, I mean, he may have had all of those people look at it, but it's still literally one vote out of, I think I read 500-something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, really, like, that. I mean, it's less than 1%.
Right. Right. It's just a tiny little percentage. And here's the thing about voting. Here's an interesting point that I thought of today. Every vote counts, right? Like, kind of, like every vote counts. But unless a vote is decided by one vote, no vote matters. You know what I'm saying? That is the ultimate conundrum of voting. Unless there's a ballot decided by one vote, your vote doesn't mean anything, while it also means everything, you know? The ultimate duality of man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that joke is about voting for government. Is democracy is the best option.
Sure.
Or something like that, but it's still a terrible option. I'm trying to blanking on what that's called. But
The lesser of two evils is still evil? Is that what you're going for?
No, there's a voting one that I'm thinking of specifically that that I'm just completely drawn nothing
for. All right.
Before.
All right.
So I'm just going to keep on moving.
Well, not from the topic, but... Right, right. So you did it to protest these archaic fossils who think way too highly of themselves, like Murray Chass and like Greg Doyle. By the way, Greg Doyle accusing Levitard of being sanctimonious when Greg Doyle's in his 40s and has a mohawk. You know, like, is Levitard really the attention seeker when you're choking down 50 years old and you have a mohawk? I mean, what, really? Like, I mean, really? Like, think about where your life is at that point. So, exactly.
I'm just trying to think of myself going for a mohawk in 3 years.
I pray to God you do.
Well, it's not a pretty sight underneath there, so I probably won't ever. When you crack your head open like 6 times as a child, it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle up there.
Oh, wow. I was just going to say, just in general, white people don't look very good with bald heads. Not to turn this into a racial issue, but black people look a hell of a lot better bald than we do. So
you've got it's kind of a limited look there, I think, for white people. Stone Cold pulled it off.
Yep.
There's certain people that can pull it off. I'm just not going to be. I'm not going to be a good one bald.
Nope.
It just doesn't work well.
Nope, not at all. But so it's just interesting now, and I thought the lifetime ban from voting in a year of essentially he can still go to baseball games, but he can't, like, he doesn't have locker room access. They took away his free hot dogs, basically, is what happened. So
yeah, I'm sure he'll get free hot dogs one way or the other if he wants.
I'm sure he will. He still works for ESPN, by the way, so I'm sure he can still cover baseball from the inside if he wanted to. Because, you know, ESPN's like the Gestapo, but, but you know, so it's not really much. But it's just, it seems extreme for what he did, which I don't think is any sort of big deal whatsoever. And was just meant to start a discussion on how dumb the process is anyway, which is greatly appreciated because every year I get aggravated by it. Like, Barry Bonds can't get in because he was an admitted steroid user. But he played during an era when everybody was a steroid user, and was the best player from that era. So, obviously, he was more talented than everybody because it was a level playing field, you know?
Yeah, well, and the other thing to me, since I watched him less during that part of his career,
mm-hmm.
even what he did in Pittsburgh before he became twice the size that he was in Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah.
Like, the chances that I see a player that's that good is pretty slim. Like, I mean, I love Andrew McCutchen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's Barry Bonds.
No. No, he's not.
I mean, he is awesome, but he's not Barry Bonds. Like, 20 home runs a year and maybe 20-some-odd stolen bases. I mean,
right.
Bonds was doing 30-30s
right.
Before he bulked up. It's just like,
exactly.
That guy was insane.
Before he started using. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, me and Baby Mama Drummer, like, what are the chances that we see a better player than him before we knock off? I'm like,
very
good.
Slim. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just this once-in-a-generation talent that, like I was hinting at before, probably just got driven into using steroids because everyone around him was doing it. I mean, Alex Sanchez tested positive for steroids. That tells me everyone was using. So it just leveled the playing field, you know?
Considering
because,
that I have...
Go ahead.
Considering I have no idea who Alex Sanchez is, that's a pretty good sign. There's
exactly
been a lot of people were using.
Exactly my point. But, yeah, I'm sure it just went around the locker room from team to team and caught fire, and everybody started doing it. I'm sure that's how it happened. And it was amazing. He was arguably as good as Babe Ruth was for his era, you know? And kind of, along with McGuire and Sosa, who also, by the way, admitted steroid use, helped save baseball at a time when interest was at an all-time low. So, how can that not get in? But yet these guys get on their pulpit and start arguing that this guy can't get in because he's a steroid user. And Tim Raines can't get in because he's a cocaine user. You know, it's just moralizing arbitrarily because how do you know that the guys you did vote for weren't on something also, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think that was another kind of funny question. It was just like, which of the guys in the Hall of Fame right now wouldn't get in if they had to re-vote? Like, I mean, would a noted asshole like Ty Cobb get in there?
No. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Uh-oh.
He was too dirty of a player. He's not getting my vote.
Look, and I'll say, admittedly, he was a terrible human being, but it's not the Human Being Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah.
The Baseball Hall of Fame, and he was great.
Yeah, no, because
Barry Bonds was a total asshole. I don't care. I don't have to ever talk to him. We should just honor his talent.
And I can't even believe I've forgotten to bring him up at this point, but he's provided a couple of my favorite WrestleMania moments. But I got annoyed and have forgotten about him, to be completely honest with you, Pete Rose.
Yes, absolutely.
He was one guy I'm like, who gives a shit if he gambled on them? He was one of the best players I ever watched. Like, what the hell?
More hits than anyone. And no one may ever break that record. And he can't get in because he gambled. What sense does that make? This is the stuff that Levitard wanted us to be talking about. But instead we're talking about Levitard because all these guys got back on their pulpit and called him sanctimonious. when in fact they're the ones who are sanctimonious. So it's really kind of a sad day, even though I'm glad he did it. And I hope that it starts the conversation and gets some sort of change going. But yeah, everybody's talking about how I can't believe what Bevatar did. Whoa! You know? But
yeah.
I'm very proud of him for doing it. So.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that it was, it was a good thing to do. I don't know if I would end up saying it's the right thing to do, but it's definitely a good thing to do in my eyes.
Right, right. I don't know if there is a right thing to do. Like, what if you voted for, as an example here, like the 10 most ridiculous guys on the ballot, right? Like, whoever you think that is, like Jock Jones and Armando Benitez, you know, guys like that, would that be the same? Would that do anything? I don't think so, but it'd be interesting, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, if we're in for calling out people's ballots, that would be kind of interesting to see if there's just a complete train wreck of a ballot.
Right.
Where...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hadn't thought about that angle.
You know, like, that's a protest vote, you know? That would be like going in to vote for president and voting for the Communist Party guy or something, you know?
Yeah, you're trying to make a statement, but it's not really going to make a statement because no one's ever going to know except for you.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, man.
So then, like, when the vote results come in, you know, oh, Fonclat County voting results, Obama this much, Romney this much, Gary Johnson this much, and the Communist Party guy, one vote, you know? And you can go, yeah, that was me, you know? So.
Yeah, nope. The last time I had that moment was one of my first elections when Ross Perot got a good amount of voting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, man.
That guy was awesome. Crazy.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is there anything else to talk about, I guess? I mean... I love Biggio, but I mean, it's also not going to be one of those things that I really need to go crazy about him not being
no.
in. I actually haven't been. I haven't been to the Football Hall of Fame, even though I was about 45 minutes from it when I was at Kent, and
mm-hmm.
now maybe an hour and a half from there.
Right.
I mean, I could make a day trip there, but I just
mm-hmm.
don't like. I guess I don't really care to see plaques.
Right, right. Yeah, you gotta be in the right kind of mood for that. I mean, I can definitely understand the argument where people saying it's not really that special, you know? And I kind of disagree with that, but I can get it, you know? You're just, like, looking at plaques of people, you know?
Yeah, no, and I don't know if they have some cool stuff. That, like, I mean, I guess I'd be more
Did
interested
you?
In seeing
Did
old
you?
Uniforms and gloves.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff fascinates me far more than the actual people in there. Just kind of,
right.
I guess, the history of whatever the sport would be
yeah.
is more fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I mean, that could be part of what baseball does. Like, put McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds in there, and then have, like, a thing saying, well, you know, they were great, but they used steroids, you know? Because it's part of the history. The Hall of Fame should be, like, a recording of history. So...
Yeah, that actually, why hasn't... I don't know why that doesn't seem to have... You know, of all the things that I've read, that idea I don't think is one that I've seen floated.
No, it never has. Because it makes too much goddamn sense. but...
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be perfect to just say, hey, yep, this is what happened. These guys admitted it, you know,
yeah.
They were still great, they did, you know, they kept our pastime, you know, from falling over.
Yep.
You know, it sucks that they were on steroids at the time, but hey, they, you know, they did right for us.
Exactly. And then you turn the corner, and there's the Pete Rose plaque. Got more hits than anybody. Charlie Hustle, the ultimate team player. Oh, but he gambled on stuff and was controversial. What? Just record it. Let people judge for themselves, you know? It's part of it, baseball history. Why can't people see that? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And, I mean, just the fact that these guys are supposed to have some semblance of brain power is another one that just drives me bananas.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
yep.
just... Because, oh, and I mean, I guess this stands for all, well, I can go on sports writers just in general, because it's just like, oh, yeah, I didn't see that guy's games for the Heisman or something like that. It's just like,
right.
like just all this different stuff. It's just like, I know that you can't watch, like, every game every week, but.
Right.
You know, it seems like you could have it pared down pretty quickly and just watch, like, a dozen games or something like that for the 12 best guys.
Well, you know what? You don't even have to do that. Like, YouTube will have videos of every throw a quarterback makes during a game. For some reason, this is really good for college players. Like, you can just type in Blake Bortles and they'll have, like, games... All of his passes compiled in one video. It's interesting. You can see how good he actually is.
Huh.
You just have to watch the whole game. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do much at all to find out how good these guys are, you know?
Right.
So it's just complete laziness and, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, forced incompetence. Well, I don't know about it. I don't want to know about it, you know?
Forced incompetence, yeah. I don't know how the YouTubes work.
Right. When I started writing about the Orioles in 1832, we didn't have YouTube, you know?
Great, fantastic. Then you don't get a vote now.
Exactly. That's right.
If you're just admitting to the fact that you don't feel like watching enough baseball or whatever, insert sport here, keep on moving.
Yeah, peace out.
Oh, man. Well,
thank you for giving me the platform to rant on that, because it's been driving me crazy for 2 days.
Well, it just really was a crazy week for sports, but I don't know. I think we're about 45 minutes deep, and there's one thing that I love this idea, because I'm just going to kind of nix the other ones as long as this one goes somewhere.
All right.
On Twitter today, I think you had a fantastic suggestion for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, yep. That's great. Well, so, okay, genesis of this story is that last week, the 49ers were playing the Packers in Green Bay, and the 49ers flew in Ric Flair to give them a pep talk. Now, that pep talk must have worked, because the 49ers won. However, there's a lot of backlash against Ric Flair, because he's from Carolina, and he actually, like, has recorded things during their timeouts, you know? Like, they'll play on the Videotron Ric Flair, you know? But
right.
He was supposed to be, like, a Panthers guy. And so a lot of people in Carolina, again, as with all sports, taking it way too seriously when it's just sports. thought that Flair betrayed his home team to do this for the 49ers. So I suggested that the Panthers should counter this by bringing in Hulk Hogan to give them a speech. Like, hey, 49ers, you got Ric Flair. We can one-up you. We got the greatest of all damn time, Hulk Hogan.
I guarantee that the only thing that Ric Flair heard was the amount of money they were going to give him.
What time is my flight?
Yep. Which flight do you put me on?
That's right. Luggage goes here. Where's the check? Absolutely.
And
he didn't get two hoots about what team was giving him money. He just knew that the paycheck was coming. So.
Yep. No. He would have gone to the Cincinnati. He would have gone to Cincinnati for the Bengals if they were the ones chucking out the money. But I know Mike Brown would never spend money on anything like that.
That's right. Right. Like the Brown family had a complete brain fart and decided to actually spend money. He would have gone there. Absolutely.
Oh, man. But I do remember, because I didn't even think about it, I remember being pissed. Bill Cowher rang down for the Carolina Hurricanes, the NHL team. They have a horn, like a hurricane warning horn that they use all the time.
Yep.
And before one of the games that they played the Penguins in the playoffs, he was doing the horn because he lives in Carolina now, and that's where his wife's from, that's where he met her, and all that good shit. And
it
was just like, dude.
Yeah.
But really, now that I look back on it, it's just like, oh, who gives a shit? Like,
right.
Why was I pissed at the time? Like,
right, exactly. It means nothing. But.
Yeah. It really doesn't mean anything. It really didn't mean anything when the Penguins swept them. So, I mean.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, who thinks that it seriously inspired the team in any way, you know?
Oh.
You know, really? Like, really? That's what they needed to beat the Packers? No, come on. It was just a thing they did.
Yeah,
but
no.
But just in general, my theme, I guess, today is that just in general, people take sports way too seriously.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I do believe that Lebatard actually used those words at some point, is that, you know, there's just too
probably
seriousness surrounding the whole thing.
Yeah, it really is fascinating how people take this stuff seriously when it's just supposed to be like it's entertainment. It's an escape, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I remember. He called it the cathedral of sports. You're right. He did use those words. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I guess I did think that Hulk Hogan coming in to give Carolina a speech would be kind of hilarious.
That would be so great, and I'm surprised nobody thought about it. Or maybe Hogan was just asking for too much money. We'll never know for sure. We'll never know.
Dixie Carter isn't paying me, brother. I need a little extra cash. Vince McMahon hasn't gotten a hold of me yet for my WrestleMania spot.
That's right. I'm training, brother.
I'm taking on John Cena in the main event, brother.
You joke, but they might do that.
Oh, man. Okie dokie. Well, I think we can go. Well, I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else that's really sticking in your craw that you need to get off your chest before we get on out of this piece?
One quick thing. The Redskins just hired Jay Gruden as their head coach. I find that completely ridiculous. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that one was kind of funny.
Here's the thing. I must have happened when I wasn't looking or something. When did Jay Gruden become a great offensive mind that he had three teams after him in the first place? The Lions were after him, the Vikings were after him, and the Redskins were after him. Like, when did that happen where he's such a great offensive genius that three teams are knocking over themselves to hire this guy? The guy who wanted to draft Andy Dalton ahead of Colin Kaepernick. When did this happen, you know?
I don't know. I mean, Cincinnati won a shitty division this year.
Yep.
And they
absolutely
still didn't even, what, were they 10-6 or 11-5?
10, probably.
Yeah,
the division, two teams, 8-8, and the Browns played in the division, so it's kind of hard not to win 10, you know?
Yeah, and they still, like, split the games with the 8-8 teams.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't any better, really, than those teams. They were just luckier, you know? And
they weren't... Okay, yeah, it's saying 11-5.
Oh, wow. Well, that's kind of surprising, but still.
Yeah, 11-5.
The stat I saw is that in the three playoff appearances, they've had one touchdown pass and six interceptions. So that's great, you know? Let's hire that guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess it's good that they're not recycling someone else, but I'm not sure that he's the answer either in the young guy department.
Yeah, maybe I'm coming off like a hypocrite here because I absolutely would have blasted him if they hired, like, John Gruden or Bill Cowher or some, like, recycled fossil. Because I hate that, too. I really do. Like, when the Rams hired Jeff Fisher, my eyes rolled until they rolled off of my body, you know? I like when the coordinators get head coaching jobs, but, again, I just don't think that this guy in particular has done anything to warrant the job.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think that there's a difference to be had, and I think that's another thing that occasionally is the problem, is that people don't feel like getting into nuance, and they'd rather paint with a roller instead of a small brush.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's certainly a difference in there. And, I don't know. Their offense really hasn't blown me away. They did a pretty good job, but the Steelers' defense has also kind of declined the last 2 years. So it's like, okay, yeah, you scored more points on a shittier defense.
Right, exactly.
For you.
Exactly. Yeah, totally agree with you. So that was my quick take there, as quick as that was. So.
Cool.
Otherwise,
enough.
I got nothing.
Well, even though we did it last night at Granny Mae's, at Frango 11, at Stunt Dusty now.
Absolutely.
And, oh my gosh, this is definitely an off-air thing, but remind me something about our good friend Mr. Nelson. Facebook, Twitter, at Stunt Granny, yeah, I guess, because that's the only
there
one I
go.
Didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
And, I will have another Sippy Time beer review up tomorrow. I think it's mostly going to be a local one, so people are just going to have to deal with it because I'm done separating them. So, I'm going to go and actually grab one of those beverages, and after I finish it, I am going to go to bed. So see you some other time, grandkids.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFranco and for my beverage of choice, which is Cherry Coke, this is Dusty Giebink, and we will try to do better next time. Stay black, everybody.